Okay, everybody, today's daf is Pesachim daf Pei Vav, and we have the tremendous chus of finishing the seventh parak in the Masechta as we march towards the Arvei Pesachim Gemaras in a couple of weeks and the end of the Masechta. We are here at the bottom of Pei Hei Omer Beis, Hachalonos Ovi Hachoma, by the two dots, right, three lines up. And if you remember, the Mishnah had mentioned that if a limb of the Korban Pesach had gone outside the walls of Yerushalayim, so you had to cut it off. And we mentioned, you know, you had to try to figure out where exactly the edge is. Does the airspace, if you remember, we talked about yesterday, the airspace underneath the doors, where are the walls, where are the windows? So again, the last thing in the Mishnah had said, that the windows and the thickness, the width of the walls, were considered to be inside. So once we're talking about that, like where exactly is the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, we also talk about, right away, Rav says, what about the roofs? What about the rooftops? So Amar Rav, says, Gagin ve'alios lo niskachu, that the rooftops and the upper stories in Yerushalayim are not kadosh. Right? Both, Rashi says, both in Yerushalayim and in on Har Bayis and in the Azara. Again, why is he talking about two different areas, or shouldn't that be the same thing? Well, again, there's a difference in terms of what type of korban you're eating. Right? Again, if you're telling me that only the ground floor has Kedusha, so in the Beis HaMikdash, that's chashuv for Kachim Kadashim, would have to be eaten inside the Azara, and for Kachim Kalim, which can be eaten in Yerushalayim, so that in Yerushalayim, yes, but not on the roofs of Yerushalayim. So Gemara says, Aini, is that really true? We're going to bring a bunch of proofs against this. That the kezias of the Korban Pesach and then the Hallel would break the roofs, right? Apparently, the all of the singing, all of the Hallel would be so loud, it would sound like the roofs were breaking. Right? Again, it seems from the Gemara that the Hallel should be enjoyable, should be loud, should be sung. It shouldn't just be, you know, unfortunately, you know, sometimes you go to Seder and Hallel is towards the end, so you kind of like zoom through it. So no, the Gemara seems to say that Hallel was supposed to be loud and raucous and enjoyable. So the Gemara says, "My lav d'ochli be'igra v'amri be'igra." That seems to imply that they're dancing, right? They're on the roof, right? It seems like they ate the Korban Pesach on the roof, and then they said Hallel on the roof. That implies that there is kedusha, that you could theoretically eat the Korban Pesach on the roof, and that there is kedusha. The Gemara says, "Lo d'ochli ba'ara v'amri be'igra." No, the case is where they ate it in the house. Right, but they said a halal on the roof. The Gemara says, "Aini, can you really do that?" Right, famous line that you're undoubtedly familiar with. That you can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach, right? After the Afikomen. Rav says, and also, you're not allowed to go from one place to the next, right? There's a thing, something called sukkah hopping, but there's not a thing called Pesach hopping. And you can't go to another house. You can't go to another chabura of Korban Pesach. So how could you move? So Gemara says, yeah, okay, you can't go when you're eating. Right? When you're done eating, right, so then you can go to the roof and say halal, and that must be what they were talking about. So there is no proof that the roof was actually kadosh. Toshma, I'll bring another proof. Abba Shaul Omar, Abba Shaul says, Aliyah's base kachi kadoshim, chamurim, base kachi kadoshim. Right, we tend to think that the kodesh kadoshim is the holiest place in the Beis HaMikdash. So Abba Shaul said, no, it's the roof of the Kodesh Kadoshim, the top, right? Aliyah space, the top of it. Shabbos Kodesh, again, it was a big building, right? A big structure. So the top of the Kodesh Kadoshim is even more machmir. And Shabbos Kodesh Kadoshim, Kohen Gadol Nechnas Bo Pa'am Achas Bashana. In the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Kodesh Kadoshim, so the Kohen Gadol goes in once a year, right? On Yom Kippur, to bring Ketores, etc. But Aliyah space, Kodesh Kadoshim, but what about the roof? They only went once every 7 years. Right now, a shavua here obviously means a week, but it means every 7 years. As Rashi says, once by Shemitah. Right? The Gemara does that often. It refers to a Shemitah cycle as a shavua. So, okay, either way, some people say Pamayim by Shavua, maybe it was twice every 7 years. Ramila Pamachas by Yovel, some people say it was once every 50 years, but what was the point to go up to the roof? Lay the Mashi Tzricha, right, to figure out, again, if you needed any fixing. But Lamaisa, no one ever went up there. Right? So Amar Rav Yosef, says no. Mehechal nekom v'nesev inish. Again, that would seem to prove that the roof is kadosh. So the Gemara says no. You can't bring a proof in terms of the what's it called from the hechal, from the actual building of the Beis Hamikdash. We have shiny hechal. The hechal was different. Right? The pasuk says, "Dechtiv va'yitein David the Shlomo b'no es tavnis ha'ulam es batav." the Gan Zakov, I think, is Val Yosav, Chadarav, Apnimim, Vesakaporas, and Uxiv, Hakol Bechtav Miyad Hashem, Alai Haskil. Meaning that Akosh Baruch Hu designed everything. Right? Everything was from Hashem. Everything was Ksav Yad, almost, as they say, it's like written with Hashem's signature. And that was, meaning everything was by design. Right? Since everything was, that's why it had Kedusha. Right? That doesn't prove anything about the rest of Yerushalayim and the rest of the Azara, the rest of the Har HaBayis. Okay, Toshma, another proof perhaps against Rav, that the roofs do not have Kedusha. The price is, what is this, a Mishnah? A Mishnah Master Shani. So, HaLishchos HaBnuyos BaKodesh HaPsuchos LaChol, if you had Lishchos, these areas, these, I guess, a chamber or a room that were built in the Kodesh, right, and in the holy areas, right, on the higher bias, Ne'ezar, HaPsuchos LaChol, but they were opened into unholy areas, right, into outside of the Azar of the Beis HaMikdash. Tochen Chol VeGalgosan Kodesh. So, for those areas that were built, right, on Kodosh land, wherever you mark off the Kedusha, on Har HaBayis, but they opened into unkadosh land, meaning there's a certain point where you can go, right, if you're Tamei, at a certain point, which you can't, right, a certain part that is Kadosh on Har HaBayis, which a certain point, which you can't, that's why it's not advisable to go up on Har HaBayis, since obviously nowadays we're all Tamei. That's, you know, again, people say, I know where it is, I don't know where it is, okay, right, because I think the Minhag nowadays certainly is, through most Gedolim say not to play with it, right, it's silly to play with something if you don't know, you know, what you're dealing with, and certainly with the punishments involved, they're probably not a good idea. But there were certain areas that were kadosh and certain areas that were not. So if the room itself was built on the holy place and it opened to an unholy place, meaning a place which was not kadosh. So what's the deal? So the insides are chol and the guy who's in kadosh. The halacha is that the insides of these rooms were chol because they opened up into the chol, they were not kadosh, but the roofs were kadosh. So that's against Rav's shita that the roofs were not kadosh. Apparently, these rooms, the roofs were level, right, with the floor of the Azara, of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So when you're talking about these rooms, they were actually built into the ground. Right, they were actually, I don't know, tunnels. Gemara will talk about tunnels in a second, but maybe they were, I don't know, hollowed out in the rock or something. So basically, they were caves almost, and that's why the roofs were kadosh, because that was literally part of the Azar. So Gemara says, "Yachi, if that's true, so Ema Seifa." Well, then what about the second part of the Mishnah? Benios Bechol Psukos Lakodesh. Let's say they were built on the unholy place on Har HaBayis, and then it opened up into, let's say, the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, whatever. So in that case, then Tochan Kadosh Gazayan Chol. Then the insides are Kadosh, and the roofs are Chol. And if you tell me that the roofs were on basically the level that was the floor of the Azara, so then we're talking about tunnels. And the Rabbi Yochanan already said that the tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash were not Kodesh. You just told me that, again, what does the Mishnah say in the Seifa? That Tochan Kodesh, that the inside part are Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan already said that the tunnels are not Kodesh. So Gemara says, you're right. Kikam Rabbi Yochanan, wouldn't Rabbi Yochanan say that tunnels are not Kodesh? That's Pesukos Har HaBayis. That's if they're open to Har HaBayis, which is the part that's not Kodesh. But Kitanya Hi Psuchus Azara, but they open up into the actual Beis HaMikdash itself, into the Azara, to the courtyard, so then, okay, that's going to be Kodesh. I've got Tanya, but then we said in the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mechilos Tachas Ha'echa Chol, that all of the tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash were not Kodesh, so how, regardless of where they opened into. So the Gemara says, Kitanya Hi Psuchus L'chol. No, it's not regardless of where they opened into, right? If they opened up into Chol, so then the inside is going to be Chol. And if they opened up into Kadosh, so then the insides are going to be Kadosh. Okay, another challenge against Rav. Again, Rav has said that the roofs in the Beis HaMikdash and the Azara, at least, not the Beis HaMikdash, but the Azara, the courtyard, and Yerushalayim as well, the roofs were not Kadosh. This is a pretty good stira. Right? The Brisa says, V'gago Kodesh, right? We bring a proof from our Brisa that the roofs were Kadosh. Right? How can you tell me that they were not? That's not so logical. Why not? Because what we're talking about, Gagin Halalo in Ochlan Sham Kachi Kadosh and Main Shokhtan Sham Kachi Kalim. When Rav said, when this Brisa said that this is Kadosh, that the roofs are kadosh, they're not entirely kadosh, because you can't eat kachin kadoshim or kachin kalim, meaning depending on whether you're located in the Beis Hamikdash or in Yerushalayim. Right? So they weren't so kadosh. So the Gemara says, well, the obvious question, well, they're like kashi gago kadosh. Well, so what point, for what were these roofs holy if you couldn't, roofs? Why were they holy if you couldn't eat the korbanos up there? So Amar Rav Chanan bar Gurya la'osan shtei amos. So Rav Chanan bar Gurya says, yeah, they were slightly kadosh because they would put the two amos, the two amma, they used to have measuring, like rulers, like a measuring stick for an amma. And they would keep those measuring sticks on the roof. It's not like one of the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Kalim. Shtei amos hayu b'shushan abira. There were two amos in Shushan, and that's obviously in Yonah Dioma nowadays. Now, it's not talking about actually Shushan Habira. Obviously, what do we care whether they had measuring sticks in Shushan? We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis Sheni, they had one of the towers was called Shushan Habira because they painted a mural or a depiction of Shushan. That's the Gemara says in Menachos. The Machlokas, it's interesting, the Machlokas and Gemara is whether it was, let's see here, whether it was to strike fear in the Jews, hearts, because, you know, again, they only were able to build the Second Beis HaMikdash because of, right, Persia and Shushan, right, allowing them to go back to Yavish, etc. Whether it was to make them fear the Malchus, or whether to give them Hakar Satov. So that's the Machlokas in the Gemara. The Machlokas in the Rishonim is who made them do it. If I'm not mistaken, I think Rashi says that the Jews did it themselves, and other Rishonim say that it could be vice versa, I don't remember. But the Machlokas Rishonim is whether the Jews did it themselves, either to remember to fear the government or to give us a Karsa Tov, or the Persian government made them do it. And then the Machlokas in the Gemara is whether it was to strike fear in their hearts or as a token of, like, remember who allowed you to build it. Either way, there was a tower called Shushan Abira in the Beis HaMikdash. So they kept these measuring, rulers, they measured in Amma, and there were two of them. We'll see in the second one, there were two of them, right, on that, on the roof, of that tower. Achas al Karim Mizrachis Tifonis, one of them was in at the northeastern corner. Achas al Karim Mizrachis Deromis, one was at the southeastern corner. Right? Zusha al Karim Mizrachis Tifonis, the northeastern one, Haisa Yisir al Shal Moshe Chatzi Ezba. The one that was northeast was, was half an etzba longer than Moshe's Amma. So I guess if an Amma is six tefachim, so six and a half, six tefachim and a half an etzba. V'zesha al Karim Mizrachis Romas, I say Yisera al Chatzi, Aleha Chatzi etzba. And the one that was southeast was bigger than that by half an etzba. So you had six and a half etzba and then six and a whole etzba. Again, you find six tefachim and a single etzba. Gemara asks the obvious question, or at least the Mishnah says the obvious question. Lama hayu achas gadol la'as katana? Why did you need them to be bigger than an amma? Right? You have a measuring stick, but it doesn't measure an amma. So it's useless. How does that help? And also, why do you need another one? Right? So the Gemara says, shahayu ha'umdin noktun b'katana maksirin b'gadola. K'nei shalo yavau li'dei mi'ila. Because when you would have a contractor to fix the Beis HaMikdash, so you would measure, they would measure based on, an amma. Let's say they needed to fix, they needed three ammas of gold, whatever. So they would use these ammas sticks to measure, because what happens if they mismeasure? Right? Normally, right, if you're building a stam house and you mismeasure by a little bit, so there's no big deal. But here, let's say you pay $100 for an amma, and now, right, the contractor gets, three ammas, and now he gets paid $300. But let's say he's a little short on the ammas. So now he's benefiting from Hekdesh. Right? He's taking money from the Beis HaMikdash for Hekdesh and not giving them a full three ammas of gold. That's Mi'ila. That these are Mi'ila that's benefiting from Hekdesh. So they made sure that the craftsmen would measure a little tiny bit bigger to make sure that they would, they wouldn't be violating Mi'ila by accidentally measuring slightly shorter and deriving benefit from Hekdesh. So the Gemara asks, so why do you need one that's six and a half a finger and six and one full finger's length? So Gemara says, "Achal kasma d'dava, achas d'binyanos." Because when you're telling, okay, it's one thing to tell the craftsman, okay, who's sending you rock or wood, that give me a little. You know, I would imagine they're talking about big amounts. So give me a little bit extra, right? Give me a little bit extra to make sure we don't go over exactly the line. You don't violate Mila. Fine, okay, a little bit of wood. I'll send you another piece of plywood. We're talking about gold and silver, so obviously every finger breadth is a lot. So they wanted to use that one, the one, the six and a half a finger breadth, that was for gold and silver, and the six and a full finger breadth was for everything else. Okay, fine. So the Maisa, again, we haven't really found anything that goes against Rav. Rav seems to be right, that the roofs were not kadosh, they did not have the same status as the ground. By the way, if I'm not mistaken, again, halacha l'maisa in the days of Corona, I don't know if Corona, maybe there are kulas. I remember Rav Shawai said that the people on the ground could join with the people on the mirpesets, for example, in Harnof. Right, certainly at the height of the Corona, you know, we were all davening inside. That's a year, it's almost a year already. We were all davening on our mirpesets, and maybe the chazan was down in the courtyard in the chutzer, and the sefer Torah was down in the chutzer, but we were all on our mirpesets. Rav Asher Weiss paskin that for b'shas etchak we could combine to be a minion, but l'maisa, if I'm not mistaken, in regular times, so they do not, those do not combine. That again, using, I don't know if it, I would imagine it's based on this this gemara at least in part, that someone, let's say, standing on a roof, someone in the Ezra's Nashim. So technically, lechachila, they don't necessarily combine to form a minion. It could be that they will be mitzaref. If I'm not mistaken, the halacha is that a person in the, let's say, the Ezra's Nashim, if it's about in a balcony, so perhaps they will combine with an actual minion. If, let's say, there's a minion down below, and then you want to join with them, so then, if I'm not mistaken, all you need to do is be able to see them, and they need to be able to see you, so then you will combine. But let's say if you have five people down below and five people up above, so in normal times, that would not necessarily work, as, again, this idea that the roofs have a different status than the ground. Okay, now weiter a little bit. So Tanan, again, now we're going to bring a proof from our Mishnah. If you tell me that the windows and the width of the walls is considered to be inside Yerushalayim, so Mishlam Achalonos, I get the windows because Mishlach Shel Deshavi the Karka Dazara. And you find a scenario where you have a window that's level with the ground, and therefore that's the same kedusha, that's the same, that's why it's holy. But Ela Obi Achoma Hichem Mishkachasla, how can you find a case where you have the thickness of the wall? Right? How can the top of the wall, right, be shayach, be level with the azara, right? The top of the wall, by definition, is a roof, right? If it's, I don't know how tall the wall is. So Gemara says, yeah, mishkach is a lab of bar shura. You can find a case of a very low wall. And apparently, as Rashi explains, right, apparently they had a second wall underneath, next to the wall of the azara. Right? If you look at Rashi, chomach tana lefnim min achomach dola, it was a small wall, v'ina mucha, and it was very low, v'shava lekarka, and it was equal to the ground. Again, because the Azara was raised up a little bit. So you have the wall, this low wall was equal to the level of the Azara, so therefore that would be Kadosh. But if you had a 10-foot wall, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the walls around the Azara were much higher. I don't remember exactly the shear. For some reason, the number 40 almost sticks in my head, but I'm not sure if it was that big. Either way, the mice are high up, right? That's not going to be level at all. That's going to be considered a roof. But this small wall that they had inside the wall would be considered kadosh. The chetiv, as Pasuk says, v'yavachel v'choma, right? That's talking about the ramparts. It's a Pasuk in Eicha. That the ramparts are going to cry, right? Right? Why do you have chel and choma? Those are two things. So, right, it means two level walls. That's what we're talking about. There's a high wall and a low wall, and both of them were crying, right, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, last Mishnah in the Perek. Shtei chaburos shayu ochlem b'vayis echad. If you have two groups that are eating in one house, now this is a machlokes rishonim as to whether we're talking about one korban Pesach that's split into two groups, or two actual korban Pesachs. Rashi says, first Rashi on the Mishnah, Pesach echad b'vayis echad. If you have one korban Pesach, right, split into two groups, so the din is elohufchen es penehem helach veochlem. Right, they turn their face in different directions. Sorry, I should have said that twice. Elohufchen es penehem helach veochlem, but elohufchen es penehem helach veochlem. Meaning they have to face different directions. Vamecham beemtza, and the hot water urn is in between them. Again, they ration, not for coffee, but back then it would be to dilute the wine, right? And they would share that urn. That would be, again, according to Rashi, it's one Korban Pesach that's split into two groups. Other Rishonim say, no, it's two Korban Pesachs that is split, that are eating in one house. Right? They have to make sure that they are separate. Okay. K'shashamesh ome lemzog. Now, let's say you have a waiter that is ready to, let's say he's eating, again, the idea is that the shamash here is eating with one group and he's serving both groups. Right? Let's say, you know, you want to make sure, right, you can imagine that, let's say, again, not to apply in modern days to what they did back in the day, but let's say, Meher Yibara Beis HaMikdash, we have a Korban Pesach this year. So everybody goes to Yerushalayim Pesach hotels, right? So you have one big chadar ochel. So everybody's got to be facing a different direction. Oh, maybe you'll have partitions, I don't know. But you can have waiters. And the waiters have their own Korban Pesach as well. So how does a waiter, right, who's eating a Korban Pesach, right, is everybody going to wait on themselves? I would imagine that the wealthier of us will figure out a way to get waiters. And so how does that work? What does the shamash do? So what he does, when he gets up to pour limzog, when he comes up to pour wine for everybody else, so kovetz etz piv umachzi etz panav. Right, he closes his mouth and turns his face. Obviously, he has to look where he's pouring, but he closes his mouth until he gets back to his own group. Right, and then v'ochal, then he can eat. And so the mice, again, you can imagine maybe perhaps Poskim would allow people wearing a mask. Right, again, obviously nowadays people are used to seeing masks around, so maybe, I don't know, instead of closing his mouth, maybe he would wear a mask. Or, I don't know. Again, I'm not sure if that's necessary to wear the mask. I'm saying maybe he could just keep his mouth closed. But the waiter, again, he has to make sure that he is in one group, right? We pointed that. He can't jump from group to group. So even a waiter goes to the other group, he has to make sure to demonstrate how he's not part of that group. And similarly, once we're talking about that, it's about Kala, Hofekas, Penev, Ocheles, the Kala will also, again, in terms of Rashi, talking about Fratznias, if a new bride, let's say, is also going to kind of keep to herself, right, you know, to make sure. If you look at Rashi, she busha, right? She's embarrassed a little bit, right? Rishal afoch panah. She's allowed to turn her face l'tzad acher, to another tzad, v'lechol, and to eat. Kedaman, like we said, pesach necho b'shtecha bruas, right? Again, because we don't want to say that she's eating in, right? Again, we want to, she's being tzadua, right? Again, it's, sometimes it's not so pashut for a new bride to be with the other family, or to be with their in-laws for Pesach, etc. Right? Okay, so she's allowed to turn her face, and it's not considered to be leaving the chabura. Okay, masnisa money. Who's the sheet of our Mishnah? That's Rabbi Yehuda. He Tanya will end the brisa al habadim asher yochul bahem. Malami, what does that pasuk teach me? Shem Pesach necho b'shtei chaburos. You can eat the Korban Pesach in two different groups, meaning you're allowed to split one Korban Pesach into two different groups. This is how Rashi, this is Rashi that she tells us, right? He's understanding that the Mishnah is talking about one Korban Pesach in two different groups. Yochel Yehei Ha'ochel Ochel B'Shtei Mekomos. You might have thought that the guy can eat it in two different places. You can only eat it in one house. Meaning that you're not allowed to, you can split into two groups, but you have to, everybody has to stay where they are. Mikan Amru, from here they said, Hashamash Ochel Kazayas B'Tzad HaTanur. If Hashamash is eating his Kazayas of Korban Pesach, let's say, for example, near the oven. So, if he's smart, he'll fill up. He should fill up, you know, eat as much as he can there, because he's not allowed to eat, right, anywhere else. Right, so Rashi explains over here that actually he's not eating it, and not on purpose. Right, he did it by accident. If you look at Rashi, shachach v'hichnis kazayis l'toch piv. Right, he's roasting. The shamash is the waiter. He's the cook. He's roasting it, and he forgot. And he started eating part of it. So he has, like, again, he was registered for that Korban Pesach, but he was eating elsewhere. So now he's eating there. So the Gemara says, if he's smart, he should eat where he is because he's not allowed to eat anywhere else. Okay. From Rasu B'nei Chabura Lasos Imo Tova, and everybody else wants to do him a favor, so then Boyan Yoshua Mitzido, right, again, because he kind of fixed his spot next to the oven. Right, the guy on the grill popped something in his mouth by accident, so he's eating there. So if they're nice, everybody will come and sit by the fire and eat with him. That's different. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon says no. The pasuk, that's not how you understand the pasuk. If you're eating the Korban Pesach, you eat a lot. Eat it even in two different places, right? Even in two different houses. Right, that's not what we said in our Mishnah. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. Right, so that's why we know our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. But Yachol Yehi Necho B'Shtei Chaburos. You might have thought you can eat in two groups in two places. So Tamalam, Rabbi Yisachar Yechel. Therefore, right, the pasuk says You're only allowed to eat it in one house, and that's Rabbi Shimon understands that to mean you can only eat it in one chabura. But my kamei fkli, what's the machlokas? Rabbi Yehuda sover yesh im lamasoris. Rabbi Shimon sover yesh im lamikra. The machlokas is how you read the word, whether we use the way it's written or the way it's read. So we're going to say what the pasuk is. Right, meaning that you have to eat it in one house. Right, it must be eaten into one house. Rabbi Shimon is going to say yishim the mikra. So b'vayis achad yechel. Well, let's see Rashi if it helps. One second. Hold on. Sorry. Right. Sorry. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you do yishim the mesoras, that the way the word is written is yochal, is yud aleph chaf lamed, right? Meaning referring to the person, right? That refers to the person. Vaisachad yochal, he should eat in one house, implying that the person has to stay in one place. Rabbi Shimon is going to say the way we read it, the way Bal Kori will read it when he reads the Torah, is b'vayisachad ye'achel, that ye'achel means it shall be eaten. So Rabbi Shimon was talking about the korban, meaning the korban has to be, shayach to one person, but the person can then, go and eat wherever he wants. So that's how they're going to split that drasha. Okay. Hayoshman v'nifrisa mechitza b'neihem. Let's say they were sitting, right? People sitting together. Again, if you can imagine, let's say a big hotel, and there were mechitzos set up for every group to separate each chevra, and then the mechitza fell down. Other way around. I'm sorry. Everybody was sitting. No, I apologize. V'hayo yoshman, they were sitting, and then v'nifrisa mechitza b'neihem. Someone put up a mechitza in the middle. Meaning they were together, and then a mechitza went up in the middle. So then the divrei omer pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, according to the Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you can eat a carbon pesach in two different groups. So then Oakland, they can just continue eating. The divrei omer in pesach nechal b'shtei chaburos, according to Rabbi Shimon, then they can't continue eating. Right? Then in Oakland, then they're not allowed to eat any further. Because again, now they're already splitting into two different groups, because right? You have to stay in the same group, and now they're two different groups, so you cannot continue to eat according to Rabbi Shimon. Hayoshman mishtachal mechitza b'neihem. This is the second case. Now let's say there were two groups, and then the mechitza fell down, right? So now they're almost like combined. So and they're also technically sort of in a new place. So the divrei omer ochel shnei b'shem makom was according to Rabbi Shimon, who says you can eat in two different places. So ochel, and that's fine. The divrei omer in ochel b'shem makom was according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can't go from one place to the next. Then in ochel, because it's like you've moved to a new area, and you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not only the moving; it's all even kind of like being in a separate or a new room, right? Even if there's more space, almost. Even if you haven't moved and you've stayed in the same place, that's still going to be a problem according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yosef Rav Kahana kapashut leim mifshat. Rav Kahana was saying this over, and I remember Rav Ashi, Rav Kahana v'tibay lecha abaye. He said you should have asked a question about this. Meaning Rav Kahana pashut the mifshat. He was saying these halachos as if they're pashut. Saying these halachos like we just said, like they're saying them straight up. This is Rabbi Yehuda's sheet, this is Rabbi Shimon's sheet, etc. Rav Ashi said, no, it should be a shaila here. Because siluk mechitza vasiluk mechitza mi havi kishne makomos kishne chaburos dami ola. But is it really, right, again, these people aren't moving. And so putting up a mechitza, putting down a mechitza, does that really change the location? And does that also change one group into two different groups? And the Gemara, sure enough, by the two, that says, teku, that it does not resolve, this, at least according to Rav Ashi, he does not know whether that would actually effectively split a group into two or make them move even without actually moving. Okay, let's just finish up the Masechta, finish up the Perek. Hakala Hufekas is Panel, the new bride is allowed to sit with her face in another direction, meaning why would that do that, right? Why would she do that? My timeout, what's the point here? Right, if you look at Rashi, Lamala, Lafoch Panel, my Orche Behachi. Why is that a normal thing for her to do? Why would she do that? So the Amar Bichia Bar Abba Amar Yochanan Bneishahi Bosha, because she's embarrassed, she's uncomfortable. Right? Again, she's a new bride, people look at a bride. So it was tzinius for her to kind of like shade her face a little bit. It's awkward sometimes going to the in-laws. Rav Huna, Berei, the Rav Nasan Ikla, the Beir of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Rav Huna went to Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak's house. This story, is it Pesach? I'm not sure if it's Pesach or not. We'll see the story about, Busha in general, or lack of lack thereof. Amrulei Mashmecha, they said, what's your name? Samarlu, Rav Huna. He said, oh, Rabbi Huna. So Amru Nesiv Mara Puria said, okay, that Puria is not Purim. But he said, let's go get you, you can sit on the couch, meaning a place of kavod. Right? They put him towards the front. So Yosef, Yavu Lekoso, they sat. He sat, and they brought him a cup of wine. And Kiblu B'chad Zibna, he accepted it right away without saying, no, I really want one, right? He took it right away. V'shasi betray Zibna, he drank it in two gulps. V'lo Adar Ape, and he didn't turn his face while drinking that wine. So Amrulay, so they asked him a bunch of questions about everything that he did. My time at Karis Lach Rav Huna, why do you call yourself Rav Huna? I said, Amrulay, that's it, you know, Baal Hashem Ani, that's what people call me, right? Sometimes people just say that, you know, they ask you who you are, Rabbi Herman, I usually don't say that, but, you know, okay, if that title is necessary, apparently at that point in his life, Rav Huna just said, well, I'm Rav Huna. So my time aki amru l'chanesev apuri yasafta. Why do they say when you should sit on the couch, the place of kavod or place of honor? Why do you sit there? So amru l'hu, he said, because kol masha yomar l'chabalabayis asay. Read everything that you should do. Everything the balabayis tells you, that's what you should do. Now the gemara here says chutz mitzay, except for leave. Again, that's a whole discussion in the achronim. Want to keep on going and kind of figure out what the pshat is here. So there is a lot that the Rishonim, the Achronim, talk about whether this exception applies, right? Chutz mitzay, except for leave, right? Obviously, if the Baal Bayis says you should leave, that seems to be proper etiquette to leave. But okay, Ayin Shem. So perhaps that's why it's in parentheses. My time at Kiyav Lacha Kasa Kabbalas Kibalta Bechad Zimna. Why did you take the cup, right, the first time you were offered and not say, no, that's okay, I don't need to? Why did you just take the cup right away? You can say no to someone who's a katan, right? Someone who's not a great person, but you shouldn't refuse a great person. I mean, he's trying to be a nice guy. Tosu says that, why didn't Rav Huna just say this for the last thing? Why did he say, why did he say you listen to whatever Baal Abayis says by that? And here he said, well, you always listen to a great man. And he could have said that the first time. So Tosu says that you only listen to a great person only applies if you're not going to have yura, you're not going to have gaiva in a scenario where in terms of gaiva. So when he said sit here and cover the gesit, so that doesn't apply. Right, we don't say in Mesarv in the Gadol, we don't listen to the great man when he tells you to do something. That's only if it's not going to result in a scenario where you could be perceived as haughty. So you need another reason why he sat on the couch. Okay, my time ishtit betrays him. Why did you drink the cup in two gulps and not one? Or three. So I'm alluding to Tanya, like when they're right, so it shows a coaster of Achas or Razor Gargaron. Right, if you drink a cup in one sitting, I guess, you just guzzle it down. So that's a Gargaron, someone who just is a, I don't know how you translate a Gargaron, but he's someone who likes to drink a lot. Shneim Derechair, it's two is proper. And Shlosha Megasei Ruach, and three is already sipping the wine over there. That's already Midi Gaiva. It says, my time alo hide panecha apecha, why didn't you turn your face when you drank? So I'm a little, because, and this is probably why we bring this story, kalo fechas panetan, it's only a kalo, right? Other people do not have to turn their face, right? It's in the kalo, right? And it's not something a man, or not a kalo, rather, has to be concerned with doing. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Iklo Lebe Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi Ben Lakunya. And Yavalu Kasa, sure enough, they gave Rabbi Shmuel something to drink. And Kiblu B'chazimna, B'shasi B'chazimna. And he accepted it right away and drank it all down. He emptied the bottle, emptied the cup. Tamerlay, they said to him, Lo Savamara, Shotsukosu B'vazaka, Sarezi Gagaran. What? You don't hold to this, that you should drink it in two, not in one. Tamerlay, Lo Amri B'koscha Katan. Now, it's not said about your cups, which are small, and your wine, which is sweet, and my stomach, which is huge. Meaning, He had a shot glass. And he just downed it down in a shot glass. They didn't say you have to sit there sipping a shot glass. It's talking about a normal cup. Okay. Amar Ravuna b'nei chavura nechnasin shlosha. If you have a group of people who are eating together, Korban Pesach, Rashi says it's not talking about Korban Pesach, but other Rishonim say it is talking about Korban Pesach. Okay. But either way, just to be aware, b'nei chavura nechnasin b'shlosha, people who are eating together in a group can start eating when there are three of them. V'yotzin efilu be'echad, they can leave one at a time whenever they are done. Again, even though it's, Rashi points out that it's annoying for the waiter, but to kind of figure out when everybody's leaving, when everybody's coming. But that they're allowed to do though. Amar Rabbi says Vuda Ayal Beidna Deregli Ma'ayal, but that's only when people are normally coming, right? When it's dinner time, right? You don't have to serve breakfast at 2 p.m. Right? Vuda Ragishbo Daila, and that's also when the waiter knew what he was getting into, that they were going to leave one by one, and that he'd have a little bit more work as opposed to clearing everything off at once. And Amar Avina Venosin Schar Damin, they also have to pay, right? To give a tip, right? They have to pay the waiter. Well, I guess paying the waiter is not a tip, but the last one is a tip. And the guy who stays the longest, right, has to give him a tip. Right, he has to give him a little bit extra for sticking around. But that's not necessarily true. But the halacha is not that the last guy has to pay longer. Right? Rather, they should break it up evenly. Okay, Hadron Halach Ketzat Zolin, and Mitzvah Shem. Tomorrow we'll go back on the Heilig Shas and start the eighth parak of Ha'isha.